Easter Day is the triumph of Jesus overcoming death. It is the celebration of the church, and it is foundational to our faith as Christians. Christ overcame death and opened up for us the way to eternal life. It is for us a day of celebration, but for Jesus' disciples on that first Easter day, it began as a day of confusion and worry. When Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, went to anoint Jesus' body, they found an empty tomb, and they report this to the other disciples, leading to a race between Peter and John to see who could get to the tomb first. And there also they find the empty tomb with the grave linens neatly folded. On top of this, Jesus reveals himself to Mary and then vanishes. Mary tells the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." It is interesting that Jesus chooses to reveal himself to Mary and not to the 11 first. A woman's testimony in that time would have been considered of less worth. But Jesus is making a point here. In his kingdom, women are just as equal as men. Unfortunately, even the early disciples had trouble understanding this, as Luke's gospel goes on to tell us that the disciples did not believe the woman, as their words seemed to them like nonsense. And so we are told that Peter leaves the tomb wondering to himself what had happened. And so now Luke's gospel turns to two followers of Jesus walking from Jerusalem to their home in Emmaus. We are told one of them is called Cleopas, but we are not given the name of the other person. The most commonly accepted theory is that Cleopas mentioned here is the same Cleopas mentioned elsewhere in the New Testament, in which case that would make him the brother to Joseph and the husband of the other Mary, the Mary who's known as Mary, the mother of James, the Mary who was with Mary Magdalene when she found the tomb empty. Why does this matter? Well, the popular theory is that the other traveller was Cleopas' wife, Mary. We know that she was in Jerusalem, as she's mentioned as being both at the cross, alongside Jesus' mother, Mary, and Mary Magdalene, and again, as I said, at the tomb of Mary Magdalene. And so it seems likely that if Cleopas is returning to his home, then his wife may also be going with him on that journey. In which case, it's possible that the two travellers on the road are Jesus' uncle and auntie. And they are travelling home not in celebration, but in grief. They cannot get their heads around what has happened. They have placed all their hope in Jesus, trusting that he was the one to redeem Israel, and yet they had seen him be killed. He had been arrested, killed, buried, in his body now nowhere to be found. And it is now in this grief that Jesus arrives. Jesus knowing not only the location of which to find them, but the location of their souls. And Jesus begins to walk beside them. We are told that they are kept from recognizing Jesus. And so Jesus engages them in conversation, asking them what they are talking about. It's here that Cleopas does the talking. He replies, perhaps with a touch of sarcasm, no doubt welling up from the grief inside of him. But of course, there is irony, as he says to Jesus, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who does not know these things that have happened?" The irony of, in fact, asking the only person who not only knows these things, but understands these things. And in reply, Jesus not only takes the time to explain what happened, but he gives meaning behind it also. Jesus had told his disciples he would rise again on the third day. And so when Cleopas mentions it's the third day and how the woman had found the tomb empty, he still doesn't grasp what is right before him. And so Jesus gives him a rebuke. How could they not understand this? Do they not believe what the prophets had spoken, that the Messiah would have to suffer? And so Jesus goes from the beginning, telling the story of salvation. He explains how all scriptures point towards himself, point to the Messiah, and how they all foretell of his death and victory over death itself. What a talk that would have been on that journey. It's a 7-mile walk to Emmaus, and for those 7 miles, they had Jesus opening up the scriptures himself. It tells us that Jesus starts from Moses, which could actually mean the books of Moses. So in fact, he may well have started from Genesis. Jesus, the word of God at the point of creation, then perhaps to Adam and Eve, and the promise from God that although the serpent would strike his heel, he would crush his head. Perhaps then he moved to the covenant with Abraham and the story of Isaac, or the story of Passover, hearing how the Messiah is the Lamb of God. Perhaps then to Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Cross, which in detail describes the death Jesus would face. Perhaps after this, Jesus moved to the words of the prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, each foretelling the descendant of David, the Messiah, who would come. Perhaps he would also have had time to touch on the symbols throughout the scriptures which foretell him, from the serpent Moses lifts up in the desert to the story of Jonah. It's hard to see how all of this could have fitted within that journey, even if they had slowed down to hear as much as possible. But what we do know is that they wanted to hear more. When they reach their destination, Jesus does not impose himself on them. He continues to walk on. And it is only their invitation which brings him in to their home as they urge him strongly, please stay. Again, here is another possible sign that the second traveller is Cleopas' wife, Mary. Because as they arrive in the evening, they arrive to a single house for dinner. It's now evening and it's getting dark, which means they must have been talking for hours. And now something familiar happens. Jesus takes bread and breaks it. And their eyes are opened and they see who it is who has been speaking with them. And they see the hands holding the bread are the same ones bearing the scars of the cross. The gesture of breaking bread is a gesture of revelation. Jesus uses it to reveal himself previously at the feeding of the 5,000 and at the Last Supper. And here also he reveals himself again and their eyes are opened. By waiting to reveal himself, Jesus allowed them to understand who he was and why he had to suffer from the scriptures first, not just from their own personal experience. An important point, as they would then go and share this revelation with others. And now that they see Jesus, their Easter day turns from grief and confusion to one of joy. They tell one another, were our hearts not burning within us while he spoke with us? And then we are told, they leave that very moment, back onto the same road, but this time heading in the other direction, as they rush back to Jerusalem to tell the others. Suddenly, the dark of the evening with its threats of animals and robbers becomes less important compared to the news that they must share. I think sometimes we can be a little bit like those travellers on the road to Emmaus, walking in that wrong direction. So focused on our worries that our heads are down. And because of this, we fail to see that Christ is by our side. We fail to see that Jesus not only knows where we are, but also where our souls are also. But the good news is that Jesus seeks to bring that same fire into our hearts, that our hearts may also burn within us. If we find ourselves confused or full of grief, a good place to start is where Cleopas started, by bringing it all to Jesus, by sharing the worries with him. And then importantly, being open to listen and to hear Jesus' words back. Because an encounter with Jesus changes everything. When Jesus revealed himself, the travellers stop everything and change direction at once. And the same is true for us. Jesus is wanting to meet us where we are, to come alongside us and to reveal himself to us, and to change the direction of our lives also. Amen.